you ever been on vacation or during the holidays or some situation where you're out of your routine and every day kind of feels the same and you wonder, what is today? Have you ever noticed you never feel that way on the Lord's Day? You always know when it's Sunday because Sunday just feels different than the other days of the week. And Sunday is treated differently in the Scriptures than the other days of the week. You ever thought that it was the first day of the week when God said in the beginning, "Let there be light"? It was on the first day of the week when an angel said, "Why are you looking for the living in a graveyard? He is not here. He is risen." It was on the first day of the week when Peter said, "Repent and let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins." The gospel was first preached on the first day of the week. And so this day is special to us and feels special to us because it is special. And I thank you for letting me share this Lord's Day with you and making it one that is special for me. You've heard me speak all weekend about my daughter Morgan and my son David. They're sitting here with my mother. No, that's my sister and her husband who have come over. They also attend at Kleinwood, and they ask that you not tell that they're here. It's good to be with my family in Christ and my family in the flesh. I'm going to ask you to turn to Romans 16 with me as we begin this theme that our brother introduced for us with the song just a moment ago. I want to be a worker for the Lord. And I want to do so by reading some of Paul's farewell and greetings to the church at Rome and the members who made up the church there. Romans 16, we're going to begin reading at verse 1, if you'll follow along. "I commend to you our sister Phoebe, who is a servant which is at the church at Cenchrea, that you receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, and that you help her in whatever need she may have of you, for she herself has been a helper of many and of myself as well. Greet Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who for my life risk their own necks, to whom not only do I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Also greet the church that is in their house. Greet Epaphroditus, my beloved, who is the first convert to Christ from Asia. Greet Mary, who has worked hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Junius, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners, who are outstanding among the apostles, who were also in Christ before me. Greet Ampelatus, my beloved in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and Stachys, my beloved. Greet Apelles, the approved in Christ. Greet those of the household of Aristobulus. Greet Herodian, my kinsman. Greet those of the household of Narcissus who were in the Lord. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, workers in the Lord. Greet Perses the beloved, who has worked hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, a choice man in the Lord, also his mother and mine. Greet Ansecretus, Phlegon, Hermes, Petrobus, Hermas, and the brethren with them. Greet Philologus and Julia, Nures and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints who were with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you." I hope you weren't impressed with my pronunciation of those names. I just made them up as we went along. The key I found is don't stop. Just keep going, and everybody thinks, "Oh, that's how you say it." But I must say to you for certain that God knew how to say their names properly. And they had made a difference in the work of the Apostle Paul. And he knew not just the names of these people and how to pronounce them, but he knew the life and the character behind the names and the work that they were doing for the Lord. As we've studied already this weekend, sometimes the Bible gives us great detail about characters and the things that they did and how they lived their life. Chapters that are devoted to them. But also in the Scripture we find what we may refer to as a supporting cast. People who are mentioned once and then quietly exit the stage back into obscurity. But I want you to be impressed they are mentioned. And they made a difference in the lives of God's people. There is a common thread that ties all of these names together for our purposes this morning. And that is the number of the times that the word work appears in this text. Did you notice that? The different ways he described their activity in the kingdom. And it always had to do with work. Whether you're talking about men or women, there were couples, married couples mentioned, singles. They all had work that they could do. And specifically, there are three different ways that that work is described that I want us to consider this morning as we think about our work in the kingdom and in the body of Christ here. It says, first of all, that they worked hard. Number two, it says that they were workers in the Lord. And then number three, it says that they were fellow workers or co-laborers. And I want us to consider those three things this morning as we think about what is the work I can do? How can I be a person who makes a difference in the kingdom of the Lord? Number one, they worked hard. Verse 6 tells us about Mary. Here is a name that we can pronounce with confidence, who has worked hard for you. Verse 12 also says, greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, workers in the Lord. They are thought to have been sisters, maybe even twin sisters. One thing you can say about their names, they probably tried real hard. But look what it says. Steve just got that. Look what it says. They were workers in the Lord. They have worked hard for you. Many people see the local church as a institution that exists for what it can do for me. We get announcements at our home from area churches around us that are advertising all kinds of programs that they want us to come be a part of. Come be a part of our singles ministry, our youth program. Come be in our finance 101 class. All these things. Come be a part of our recreational services we can provide for your family. And what that does is produce this idea in our country that the church owes me something. And if I'm not getting what I need here, well, I'll just pack everybody up and we'll go down the road a few miles and maybe we'll get what we need there without ever asking the question, what work can I do? What can I give? And how can I work hard? The first name that finds mention in the list in verse 1 is Phoebe. And did you notice that Paul said she is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea? Cenchrea was a city near the city of Corinth. It is believed that when Paul wrote the letter, that Phoebe was the one who took it and delivered it to the church in Corinth. And so he says to her, you receive her in a manner worthy of the saints. Why? Because she herself has been a helper of many and of myself as well. One day Morgan was helping me do some yard work outside. And as is typical in the summer, it was a hot and humid afternoon. And I went over to the water hose and got a drink. She said, Daddy, I want some. I said, no, Morgan, we don't drink out of the water hose. Guess what her question was? Why did you drink out of the water hose? Sometimes people will leave Southside in Pasadena and they will say things like, well, nobody ever called us when we were sick. Nobody ever came to see us. Nobody brought food. Nobody had any concern for us. And so we're going to go somewhere else. Well, if that's the case, we need to do better about that. But here's the question that needs to be asked. When was the last time you went to the hospital and visit someone? When did you look around and say, well, you know, they hadn't been here in a while. I need to call and check on them. Or they've been sick, so I'm going to help and serve them in some way. We think that everybody else ought to be working hard to help with our needs, but when the situation is reserved, well, I just don't have time right now. This is my busy time of year. Got all these other things going. I want you to be impressed that these were people who worked hard, who didn't see the church as something that I get from and I don't have to give anything. Paul said, you greet these people because they work hard. In Mark chapter 14 and verse 8, when Jesus identifies a woman who took a very costly bottle of perfume and broke it and anointed the Lord's head with it, the disciples begin to be concerned, saying, well, that's a waste. We could have taken that and sold it in the marketplace and given the money to the poor. You remember what Jesus said in Mark chapter 14 and verse 8? He said, you let her alone, for she has done what she could. And wherever the gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will be spoken of in memory of her. In Mark's account, she's not even mentioned by name. Later on, we learn when we put the gospels together that it was Mary. But Jesus said she did what she could. And because of that, wherever the gospel is preached, even Humble, Texas, what this woman has done is going to be spoken in memory of her. She worked hard. When you think about your service to this local church, would somebody say, he works hard? She has worked hard here. Or do you see it only as something that owes you something? Do you want to be a worker every day? Do you want to work hard? That's the kind of people we need who are going to labor in the vineyard of the Lord. Number two, we read that they were workers in the Lord. And that's why the song says, I want to be a worker for the Lord. It's not just that we're working, but we're working in a way that honors our master. We are serving one another in the same way we would serve him if he were here. We are workers in the Lord. Verse 3 of our text in Romans 16, greet Prisca and Aquila, or Priscilla and Aquila. We heard about them during the class period, but look what it says about them this time. My fellow workers in Christ Jesus. And what did they do? Who for my life risked their own necks, to whom not only do I give thanks, but also churches of the Gentiles. This was a couple who was so devoted to the Lord and to His cause that He uses a wordplay here to describe that they would lay their head down on the chopping block so that someone could come and cut it off. That's how devoted they were. They risked their own necks for me. Why? Because they were working for the Lord. And they realized that no sacrifice is too small when you consider how the Lord has worked for us. But it wasn't just Priscilla and Aquila. Again, verse 12, greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, workers in the Lord. Greet Perseus the Beloved, who has worked hard. How? In the Lord. You see, we don't do this just because we want to be nice to each other and because we love one another. That certainly is a noble motive. But we do so because of what Jesus said on the judgment, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, you did it to me. These were workers in the Lord. A year or so ago, I went to the Museum of Natural Science and History in downtown Houston. And they had an exhibit on ancient Egypt that I went through and learned a lot about this culture that plays a part in biblical history. The thing that I saw over and over in all these different exhibits about the Egyptian people was the way that they had their religion in everything that they did. Now, we know that the God of heaven was not pleased with them serving the God of the sun, the God of the Nile, and the God of the harvest. But no matter what you were looking at, their homes, their marketplace, it became obvious that their religion was the most important thing to them. What if someone were to dig up your house 1,000 years from now and look at how you lived your life? What conclusion would they make about what was most important to you? Would it be that you were a worker for the Lord? We give a lot of attention in our lives to first house, first car, first crush, first kiss, first wedding anniversary, first born, their first steps, their first word. We make certain that these moments are captured and we relive them over and over and we think about them over and over, because you can only have one first. What about when Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you"? Matthew 6 and verse 33. You can only have one first. That doesn't mean you won't have other relationships in your life that are important to you, but you can only have one first. That doesn't mean you won't have other commitments that will demand your time and energy and attention, but you can only have one first. Paul commends these workers because they were workers in the Lord. They labored for Him first. Another song we sing is, "There's room in the kingdom." And we believe that. My question is, do you have room for the kingdom in your life? Is it what you do first before you do anything else? Greet these workers. They've worked hard. They work for the Lord. And then number three, they are my fellow workers, he said. My kinsmen. My fellow laborers. This seemingly miscellaneous group of people are tied together because they're all family in Christ. Now, we understand when Paul said they are my kinsmen, maybe he was talking about they were from the same tribe of Israel. But even more importantly than that, they now shared a blood connection through Jesus Christ. They were brothers and sisters through Him. And so when he talks about Phoebe in verse 1, she's just not this lady Phoebe. She's our sister Phoebe. We're bound together. When you get down to verse 3, Priscilla and Aquila are my fellow workers in Christ. Verse 7, Andronicus and Junius are my kinsmen, my fellow prisoners. Verse 11, Herodian is my kinsman. We are kin, we're family, and we work together. Did you ever notice that anytime you hear about Priscilla and Aquila in the Scriptures, they're always mentioned together? You never hear about Priscilla without Aquila or Aquila without Priscilla. They're always there together. They work together. Sometimes husbands and wives have this idea of, well, I'll do my work in the kingdom and you do your work in the kingdom. I tell you what we need husbands and wives who labor together. Who, when you think of one, you think of the other. Because they're co-laborers. They labor together. We need those who understand that when you're involved in a relationship like the church, then you treat one another like you do your own family. Did you notice what Paul said in verse 13 about Rufus? He said, he's a choice man in the Lord, and so you greet him and his mother and mine. The same system that allowed Paul to speak of the young preacher Timothy as my son in the gospel, my true son in the faith. Paul, an unmarried man, probably never had any children in the flesh. And now he could say, this is my son in the gospel. Well, apparently the mother of Rufus thought the same way about Paul. So he said, you greet Rufus and his mother, who, by the way, is my mother in the faith. Co-laborers. We labor side by side. We labor together for a common cause. We're devoted to one another. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, notice how Paul said this affects the way we view our relationship and our opportunities in the kingdom. As we have opportunity, Galatians 6 and verse 10, let us do good to all men, and especially to those who are of the household of the faith. Especially. Our brothers and sisters have the first claim on our resources, on our time, and our money, and our attention, and our energy, and our focus. Why? Because we're co-laborers. We bear one another's burdens, because life sometimes has burdens that are unbearable. But through this family connection, we labor side by side. Sometimes that means we're reaching down to help. Sometimes it means we're reaching up. But we are kinsmen and fellow laborers. Matthew chapter 25, when Jesus talked about the end, when all nations will be gathered before Him. And He said, I will separate the sheep from the goats, one on the right and the other on the left. Do you remember what Jesus said would be the defining characteristic of those who would be invited to enter the kingdom and those who would be refused? He said, come, ye who are on my right, come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Well, what were they doing? I mean, they must have been baptizing people, and they must have been fighting to the death and standing up to kings and rulers. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. May I ask you, can you work like that in the kingdom? I was thirsty, and you brought me something to drink. I was sick, and you visited me. You mean that's going to be on the test? I was naked and you clothed me. I had these needs and you saw to them. And these will say, Lord, we don't remember seeing you like that. To the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, don't stop there, even the least. I dare say if one of the elders' wives was in the hospital, you'd drop everything and rush there and make certain you could be of assistance. What if it's one of our brothers and sisters who are just always on the periphery? I mean, they're just barely hanging on. Would you do that for them? Or would you say, well, they're probably not going to be faithful anyway. Something else is going to happen and we won't see them for several months, and so we're going to just spend our time on other people. Even the least of them, Jesus said, you did it to me. Depart from me, those who are on the left, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Well, they must have committed murder, fornication, adultery, homosexuality, all those horrible things to be banished from God's kingdom. Why? Because I was hungry and you were too busy. I was sick and you were going to get around to that. I mean, your schedule was going to eventually open up and allow you to do that more often, but just not now. And that never came. You didn't seek first the kingdom. You didn't, especially to those of the household of faith. Remember, we are co-workers. We labor together. We're kinsmen. Let's treat one another like family. When the kids were very little, I did something, looking back, that was quite foolish. I had good intention at the time. I thought it would be less of an investment if I gave them a bath at the same time instead of doing them individually. Morgan was 3 and David was just 1. And so the first thing Morgan did was to take a bowl of water and dump it on her brother's head. I guess she was trying to help. And of course, he went into hysterics. He didn't know what was happening. I finally calmed him down. I said, "Morgan, why did you do that?" She said, "Because I wanted to." You're not going to do anything until you want to. Do you want to be a worker for the Lord? Do you want to love and trust His holy word? Do you want to sing and pray and be busy every day in the kingdom of the Lord? Because if you want to, you will. And when you do that, and you spend your life working hard, your name is not going to appear with a list of people that somebody's going to read before an assembly someday and study about you and wonder, is that really how you said their name? But you know where it will be? It'll be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So that when we do reach the throne of God and books are opened and we are judged according to our deeds, Jesus will say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Can we assist you this morning in working for the Lord by giving your life to Him, by confessing your faith and being baptized? Why don't you make that known right now while we stand?